Good morning, everyone. This morning we celebrate Buddha's enlightenment. That's why I changed the place of the statue Manjushri and Shakyamuni Buddha. Usually Manjushri is on this main altar and Shakyamuni Buddha stayed over there. But now, because we celebrate his enlightenment, we put him at the central altar and Manjushri moved to the backward. East Asian Buddhist countries like China, Korea, and Japan, we celebrate Buddha's Enlightenment Day on December 8th. At Theravada tradition, they celebrate all Buddha's birthday, Enlightenment Day, and Nirvana Day on the same day. But we have three different dates. April 8th, we celebrate Buddha's birthday, and December 8th, we celebrate Buddha's Enlightenment Day, and in February 15th, it's kind of strange to celebrate, but we celebrate Buddha's Nirvana Day. Those are three most important Buddhist annual events. In Zen tradition, we are from Japanese Soto Zen tradition, to celebrate Buddha's enlightenment on December 8th, we traditionally have a one-week session. Session is an intensive period to focus really on meditation practice. And here we did 1 week session from November 30th until December 7th, until the midnight of 7th. And right after that, we did the same ceremony we are going to do this morning. During the 1 week session, we really focus on meditation, or in our word, Zazen practice. We sit here, we sit a 50-minute period, and we have a 10-minute walk, and we repeat 14 periods a day for 7 days, and at the final day, we sat another 3 hours from 9 to 12. This is the practice following what Buddha did when he attained so-called enlightenment. He sat under the Bodhi tree by himself, and he didn't have Tenzo. That means he didn't have meals. Somehow he really sat by himself for many days. So our practice following his trace, but still our practice much easier, even though for us it's not so easy to sit, 14 hours a day. This morning, I'd like to introduce Dogen Zenji's Dharma discourse on the occasion of Buddha's Enlightenment Day. According to Dogen, he said the Buddha's birthday and Buddha's Nirvana Day had been celebrated in Japan before Dogen, but Dogen was the first person who started celebration of Jodo-e, that means Buddha's enlightenment. I'm not really sure it's true or not, but Dogen himself said. Anyway, on the occasion of December 8th, he gave a formal Dharma discourse. at the Dharma Hall. And this is one of them. And I think I introduced this discourse last year also. But I think this is really interesting and helpful to understand Dogen Zenji's idea of our Zazen practice. Especially, you know, I have been talking on Jijyu Zanmai on Sunday mornings last few weeks. Dogen discussed about Buddha's enlightenment or his Zazen practice in the same way as he described in Jijyu Zanmai. So this is quite a long discourse, so I cannot talk line by line, but let me read the entire discourse and talk important point to understand Dogen. This is a translation of a collection of Dogen's Dharma discourses called Ehe Koroku in Japanese. In English, Dogen's Extensive Record. This is a collection of more than 500 Dharma discourses by Dogen. And this is one of them. If you want to check with this text, it's Dharma Discourse number 360 and page 318. First, let me read the entire discourse. The title we made to this discourse is The Wondrous Fragrance of Wisdom and Virtue Amid Snow. Uh, 360, Enlightenment Day Dharma Hall Discourse, and this was given 1249. So Dogen Zenji was 49 years old. That was 4 years before his death. Under the Bodhi tree, where the two wheels of practice and Dharma are intimately turning, the flower of awakening is bright. In immeasurable, innumerable, great thousands of worlds, at this time, for himself and the entire surroundings, ease and bliss arose. My original teacher, the world-honored one, Great Master Shakyamuni Buddha, on this morning remained under the Bodhi tree, sitting Zazen, or sitting meditation, on the Vajra seat, accomplishing unsurpassed true awakening. When first expressing it, he said, three quarters of this night has passed. In the remaining quarter, the brightness will dawn. The various kinds of conditioned and unconditioned beings all remain unmoving. At this time, the unsurpassed Venerable Great Sage extinguishes the various afflictions, attains Bodhi or awakening, and becomes known as the one with wisdom about everything in the world. This is a quote from a sutra. What is the meaning of the world-honored one speaking like this? Great assembly, do you want to clearly understand this? So Dogen asked a question to his assembly, and he gave one answer. After a pause, Dogen said, "In this snow is a single branch of jeweled plum blossoms. Wondrous fragrance strikes the nose, arriving before spring." At that time, the world-honored one also said, he quote another part of the same sutra, "Because of the virtue and benefit I created in ancient times, everything wished for in my heart has been accomplished. My mind of samadhi has been instantly verified, and I have reached the shore of nirvana. All my various enemies or whores, and even the demon Papias or Mara in the Ishvara level of the realm of desire cannot trouble me, and so they all take refuge in Buddha. This is because of the power of my virtue and wisdom. If you can courageously make diligent efforts to seek sacred wisdom, this will be attained without difficulty. Once it is attained, all afflictions will be exhausted, and all your accumulated offenses and faults will be extinguished." This is the end of the quote, and Dogen continued, "This is the first expounding of Dharma for the sake of human and heavenly beings at the time when the world-honored one attained awakening. His Dharma children and Dharma descendants should not fail to know this. Already having known this, how do you express it? This morning, for the sake of crows and water monks, Eihei," means Dogen himself, "will tell it. Do you want to hear this?" After a pause, Dogen said, this is a poem. When the morning star finally appeared, Buddha accomplished the way. In the snow is a single branch of plum blossoms. On the great earth, sentient beings, together with grasses and trees, attained joy as never before at this time." So this is the Dharma discourse of Dogen about Buddha's enlightenment. And he composed a poem on Buddha's enlightenment using the analogy or the scenery of the world he was living in December that was entirely covered with snow. And yet, this is December in lunar calendar, that is, the Chinese New Year in lunar calendar is beginning of February. So December might be middle of January. But the climate is very different from India to China and Japan and this country. So I think when Buddha attained enlightenment, I don't think there was snow in India. But in Japan, where Dogen lived in December, everything is covered with snow. But it's already some sign of spring, especially this plum blossom is the first flower. It appears even in the snow. So this plum blossom within the snow is a metaphor of some sign of spring. So and this tiny flower or plum blossom shows the spring is coming soon or later, even though we cannot see the spring at all. It's completely covered with snow. It's completely winter. But this sign of tiny blossom shows spring is coming. That is the meaning of this poem by Dogen. The sutras Dogen quotes in this discourse is about the Shakyamuni Buddha's practice in his past lives. It is said he, at many eons ago, Shakyamuni Buddha took a vow to help all beings and become a Buddha. And after that, he continued to practice and helping other beings. It said for 500 lives. It said 500 lives because there is about a little more than 500 stories called Jataka stories, in which Buddha took all different kind of forms of living. Sometimes he was a human being, sometimes he was animals, like a deer or a monkey. But he continued to practice and helping others. And finally, about 2500 years ago in India, he attained awakening and became Buddha. So this sutra is saying about this his practice for many lifetimes and attaining final and supreme awakening and became Buddha. So here is a kind of a structure in which Buddha's practice and awakening and also teaching is taking place. That means Buddha continued to practice as his own practice, but he, in order to accomplish awakening or enlightenment, he needs to practice with all beings, helping all beings, and of course to help, he needs to be supported by all beings. So within this interconnectedness, Buddha could continue to practice. And because of this interconnection, he could help all beings. And finally, he attained enlightenment. And according to Zen Buddhist tradition, it said right after he attained enlightenment, when he saw the morning stars, bright morning stars, he said, the mountains, rivers, and all living beings on this great earth attained awakening simultaneously, at the same time together with him. So his practice and awakening is not his personal attainment, but he practiced together with all beings, and he was enlightened. Together with all beings. So when he was awakened, not only him as a person, but this entire universe, entire world became enlightened. That is the basic idea of that awakening in Mahayana Buddhism. And that is what Dogen is trying to express. in the beginning of this Dharma discourse, Dogen said, under the Bodhi tree. So Buddha was sitting under the Bodhi tree at Buddhagaya, where the two wheels of practice and Dharma, wheels of practice, that means sitting, and wheels of Dharma. Of course, practice is based on Dharma. Dharma in this case does not mean teachings, but this Dharma is truth or reality itself. You know, Buddha was sitting by himself, so he had not yet taught. So there's no teaching yet. But this Dharma is true reality of all beings. And Buddha practiced. So those two wheels, practice, our activity, and Dharma, are both turning. Intimately turning. Intimately means become really one. Not a matter of Buddha through his practice awaken to the Dharma or reality or truth that is the object of his actions. But his practice is part of this Dharma. That is what this intimately turning means. So practice our activity, and the Dharma, the true reality or truth, are really one. Our practice part of this reality. Then the flower of awakening. So he called this awakening, Buddha's awakening, as a flower. The flower of awakening is bright. And later in his poem, he called this flower of awakening as plum blossom, that he could see outside of that Dharma hall he was talking. In innumerable great thousands of worlds, not only one world, but in Buddhism itself, there are many worlds, 3,000 worlds. At this time, for himself and the entire surroundings, means the person, Shakyamuni, and all entire universe, entire worlds, ease and bliss arose. This ease and bliss is our opposition of dukkha. Dukkha is suffering. Suffering within samsara. So not only Shakyamuni, but entire world in which he was sitting was released from the suffering of samsara. So his awakening was not his personal awakening, but he awakened to this reality in which all living beings are living together. My original teacher, so Dogen called Shakyamuni as my original teacher, the world-honored one, great master Shakyamuni Buddha, on this morning remained under the Bodhi tree, sitting Zazen, on the Vajra seat, accomplishing unsurpassed true awakening. Unsurpassed true awakening is a translation of Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. This is Buddha's awakening. Then Dogen quotes those two paragraphs from the sutras, and he, after the first quote, he said, this is also a poem, in the snow is single branch of jeweled plum blossoms. So only one single branch of plum tree he could see blossoms, and entire world is covered with snow. So this tiny blossom, plum blossom, refer to Buddha's awakening. Without wondrous fragrance strikes the nose so he could smell the wondrous fragrance of Buddha's awakening. Arriving before spring, even spring has not yet come, but we could smell the fragrance of spring. And this spring refers to Nirvana, not Samsara. And this analogy of plum blossom in the snow originally came from his teacher's poem. His teacher was Chinese. His name was Tienton Rujin, in Japanese Tendo Nyojo Zenji. He wrote a poem on Buddha's awakening, and Rujin's poem is as follows. When Gautama's refer to Shakyamuni, when Gautama's eyeball vanish, plum blossoms in snow, just one branch, become thorn bushes here, everywhere, right now. Laughing spring wind blowing madly. This is Rujin's poem about Buddha's awakening. This is a kind of a strange expression, but Rujin said when Buddha attained awakening, he lost his eyeball. Does it make sense? This eyeballs means, you know, eyeball is one of the six sense organs, and that see the object of eyeball. So eye and color or shape are kind of, how can I say, in our common understanding, there is a separation, and our eye is subject, and color and shape is object. And we think, I see this object through our eye, and eye consciousness arises. That is how we usually think, you know, this person see something, and we have some correct or incorrect understanding, or sometimes it might be things as they are, but often our perception is distorted and it's delusion. But when Rujin said Gautama or Shakyamuni lost his eyeball, means this separation disappeared, and Buddhas and all living beings within this entire world become really one piece, one seamless thing. That is the fact, you know, Buddha lost his eye. Means this duality, separation, disappeared. So Buddha's awakening and wisdom is this totality of person and things around him. That was what happened when Buddha attained enlightenment. And the second line, Jochen or Rujin said, plum blossoms in snow, just one branch. So, you know, there is a plum trees, and on one branch only tiny blossoms blooms. That was when Buddha awakened. Only Buddha was only one person who awakened to this entirety or totality of all beings as one seamless reality. But after that, that was the very beginning, or even in the winter. But after that, spring is coming gradually, and all not only plum blossoms, but all different kind of flowers blooming everywhere. That is what third line said. Become thorn bushes here, everywhere, right now. When spring has come, not only one person, Shakyamuni's awakening, but all beings share the same awakening. And with laughing spring wind blowing madly, this is the wind of Dharma, then everything become enlightened. That is what Rujin Dogen's teacher expressed in his poem. And Dogen followed and used the same image of plum blossom in the winter, in the snow. I don't have much time, so I talk on the final poem by Dogen. Let me read that poem again. When the morning star finally appeared, Buddha accomplished the way. In the snow is a single branch of plum blossoms. On the great earth, sentient beings together with grasses and trees attained joy as never before at this time. You know, as I talked on the last few Sunday mornings about Dogen Zenji's Jijuyo Zanmai, he called his zazen or sitting practice as Jijuyo Zanmai. Zanmai is a transliteration of Sanskrit word samadhi. So this is a Sanskrit word, and ji means self, and ju is receive or accept, and yu is to work or use. So Dogen called his Dazen practice as samadhi of self receiving, and some translation is employing. That means we, you know, this is five skandhas, and we accept these five skandhas as me, and we need to put these five skandhas into work. That is what Jijuyu means. We receive this body, and these five skandhas is a part of this entirety of interconnectedness, and there's no personal position, nothing called shuwak, because five skandhas are always changing, always moving, coming and going, stay for a while. No position of shuwak, actually no such things called shuwak. That is what anatoman or no self means in Buddha's teaching. And yet, for a while, I accept these five skandhas, this particular five skandhas. It's different from other people's five skandhas, as me, as Shohak, as a part of this interconnectedness. So we receive these five skandhas as me and put this into work. Within the, as I usually draw, you know, we are a part of this Indra's net. That means everything is connected with everything, and yet we cannot see the thread. So we feel, we usually think, I am independent from others. But without this connection or relation, even I cannot exist as Shohaku even one moment. Without air is not me, but without air, I cannot live. Without water, I cannot live. Without food, food is the part of other beings' life. Because of the food, because of support by other beings, I can live as Shohaku. That is how we are living. And in our Zazen practice, we sit within this entire network of interdependent origination. But in our mind, we think, I am independent, I am the center of the world, and this entire world is my world, and this is most important, and the meaning or purpose of my life is to make this person powerful, wealthy, and everything good, collect everything good as my possession. That is usually our mind think as a kind of a self-centered way of life. But when we sit in our Zazen, we let go of that kind of self-centered idea and simply being a part of this network. That is what in Dogen's teaching, that is what our Zazen, our sitting meditation, sitting upright and letting go of thought, means we are free from this grasping as me and open our hand. Then each one of us, by sitting, displaying Buddha's mudra, as I said, is really like a plum blossom in the snow. That, you know, plum blossom can bloom only because of the entire world. You know, plum tree suck the water from the ground, and all other beings help this tree. That's why the flower can bloom. So our practice, or our not only practice, or not only meditation practice, but all of our activities are done within this network. We are supported by all beings, so we try to support other beings, at least try not to harmful to other beings. That is how, as a Buddha student, we live within this network of interdependent origination. And our Zazen practice is, how can I say, pivotal point of, you know, this self-centered way of viewing things and life, to letting go of self-centeredness and try to live together with all beings. So far, in my understanding, what Dogen is saying in these poems about Shakyamuni Buddha's awakening, and what he said about Zazen practice, our own Zazen practice, are the same thing. That means we are living within this network, so we awaken to that reality and appreciate the connection and try to help each other because we are helped. So, Dogen Zenji's poem, I return to Dogen's poem. When the morning star finally appeared, so at that time, you know, Shakyamuni Buddha had been sitting for many days by himself. And at the final day, he sat all night. And right before the morning stars shining very brightly. Then it said, Shakyamuni Buddha, when he saw the morning star, he attained awakening. I was ordained in 1970. I was 22 years old. And on December 8th, the final day of the session. So at the end of Lohat session, each year, that was anniversary of my ordination. So we sat until the early morning of December 8th in 1970. And we finished, session at 6 in the morning. And we had the ordination ceremony later in the morning. But when we finished the session and we went outside the Zendo, the morning star, the same morning star Buddha saw, was really shining so brightly in the southern and eastern part of the sky. It was really beautiful. And I cannot forget the brightness of that star. But at that time, my teacher, Uchiyama Roshi, said, what he said was really wonderful to me, at least. What he said was, even we don't attain awakening. He said, I realized that even when we are not attained awakening like Shakyamuni Buddha, the morning star is always shining. It's really wonderful. That means no matter how deluded we are, when we open our hand and let go of my personal ego-centered view and try to practice, we can see the morning star is shining brightly, and we can be the part of that shining star. So when the morning star finally appeared, Buddha accomplished the way. In the snow is a single branch of plum blossoms. On the great earth, entirely covered with the snow, on the great earth, sentient beings, together with grasses and trees, all living beings, together with grass and trees, those are not only grass and trees, this refers to everything, all beings in this world, including sentient beings and unsentient beings, living or non-living beings together, attained joy as never before at this time. So this joy is the same with Sanskrit word sukha. Sukha is the opposition of dukkha. Dukkha is suffering, and sukha, I don't have a good English word for sukha. It's a bliss or happiness or ease, but it's kind of different. What is the opposition of suffering? Anyway, so when we are really released from our self-centered view and way of living, then we find we are living together with all beings. It's a kind of not so difficult thing to understand as a concept, but it's really difficult to actually practice and live on that basis. And that is the point, very essential point of our practice, how we can be free from our egocentredness. And still we accept these five skandhas, that is a part of this interconnectedness, as shohaku. And how can we use this for the sake of this interconnectedness, not for the sake of this person? I think this is a really important point of our practice. And Fat Dogen expressed on the occasion of Buddha's awakening, I think, is this point. How can we turn around or transform our way of life from a self-centered way to living together with all beings? Well, it's 11 o'clock. After this talk, we have a ceremony to celebrate Buddha's enlightenment. We took a food offering, food and tea and sweet water. And we chant the Heart Sutra in English. And after that, all people offer incense to the Buddha. And after that, we will have a potluck lunch. So if you have time, please stay and join us. Okay, any question or comments? No question. That's great. That means you completely understand and agree with what I said. Good.